Hello, everybody. Welcome to Booming from X to Z podcast, where we talk with different representatives from different generations about a certain subject matter. We have a little discussion, establish perspectives, and then we'll go ahead and enter not a debate or argument, but a discussion about a specific current issue, and we'll end on a relaxed, hopefully, note. The goal of the podcast is just to understand and learn from each other, not necessarily that we will agree and disagree at the end of the day. So if you guys want to go ahead and introduce yourselves.
So if we start from oldest to youngest by generation, I'll start. Julie Murphy with Arizona Farm Bureau. My title is Outreach Director, which allows me to cover our county management, our connection to our members, and then also to the public, my other audience, then it's the advertising, marketing, and social media, digital channel management.
Awesome. And I'm Emily Frenzen. I am the Chief Storyteller for the Angler Agribusiness Entrepreneurship Program at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. So I lead our communication efforts. We have a podcast called the Angler Journey Podcast. You can find it on Spotify and Apple. And we also do a series of videos and photography stories. You can follow us on social media. On Instagram, we are angler_UNL, and that's E-N-G-L-E-R. And I also have a photography business on the side, and I am representing millennials today.
I am Whitney Ryan Miller, and I am representing Gen Z today. I'm a marketing student at UNL. I'm in the Angler program for entrepreneurship, and I'm starting a little marketing business. I already work for a few small businesses here in Lincoln, and I manage their social media channels as well as a few e-commerce sites, and I do photography on the side too.
Thank you guys all for being here. Today we're actually going to talk about the impact of social media. If you notice, maybe a trend between the specialties of our guests today. And so first of all, the first question I'd like to pose is the more general question of what is the different perspective your generation offers on the role of social media, and what type of role it should play in the workplace or in your personal life. So Julie, if we can go ahead and go in the same order, you can start.
So Gen Xers are kind of interesting. You have to remember that we're the generation that was really en masse able to have a personal computer. So we've never been intimidated by social media, and we absolutely see the value of it. We struggle a little bit in relationship to maybe the millennials. We don't do selfies as much as you do. And in fact, millennials have a hard time sharing personal stuff on social media. I try to. The Gen Xers, as a typical rule, we might not be so focused on that. And I think it's just our upbringing, the time that we grew up in. We're a little bit more independent. I think sometimes we're a little bit more suspicious about things. So I actually have to force myself to share anything personal. And the reason I do is society likes a human aspect, and it creates a better story. So I do have to work at that as a Gen Xer. I actually fall into that laggard baby boomer Gen Xer group, so I can sort of kind of represent both, but I identify more with the Gen Xer. So in the working world, we realize it's importance, especially if we're in marketing. I'm in marketing, I cannot not do social media if I am reaching out to the public. So it's a given that the Gen Xer generation is gonna participate in that. In my personal life, as I said earlier, that's where we kind of struggle. You may not see as many selfies from a Gen Xer as you do possibly from a millennial. And there's always exceptions to the rule, but speaking in generalizations, that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
I would add one other thing real quickly. If you have your customers are retail or direct, you definitely have to use social media in your business.
Totally. I would piggyback off of what you shared, Julie, and would say that social media has become increasingly relevant, especially through COVID. I think no matter what generation it is, there is a massive shift that we see because of the pandemic and people going online. So I think no matter what generation you are, I think being on social media has become a way to not only connect, but grow your business and just have your business function well against competitors. But specifically for millennials, I think one thing to know is that this generation would have grown up in the midst of a massive disruption in technology. So when I think about growing up, social media was just, it was around, but it wasn't as prevalent as it is now. And it was kind of just like rapidly growing in my youth. And then especially throughout my high school, personally, it was increasingly relevant where everyone was on social media. So that's just a personal touch. But as we look at where millennials are now with social media, I think it's really interesting to see the capacity to make a profit from social media. So whether that is being an entrepreneur through marketing yourself online or a lot of young moms being influencers on social media, I think that's something that we see as having incredible growth over recent years as well. There is this really attractive view of social media as a way to build the life you want and have kind of a freedom of schedule and making a profit from your phone. So I think we see a huge growth in that for millennials. Personally, I think there is a difference between Gen Z and millennials in what apps they use. TikTok is trending, obviously, but millennials aren't on TikTok as much as Gen Z might be and are still on Facebook or Instagram more so than the app, I would say, as well, in comparison to Gen Z's. But I think, like Julia said, there's incredible relevance for businesses to be on social media.
And as far as like Gen Z goes, I think we're just entering the workforce, and right, at least for me, because I graduated high school in 2019, I had like a taste of like life before COVID and then jumped straight into COVID I think it was my freshman year. So I was able to experience kind of what social media and working in marketing was like prior to that, and then kind of the shift there. I think the switch was really impacted by TikTok, as you were saying, like everything is more video heavy. And I think it kind of like streamlined the way that we are doing social content creation. And I think it just has such a big impact on, or COVID has such a big impact on what we are doing now in social media, and it made a change there. But I think for a lot of Gen Z, like social media has been like, we've like been able to look at the way that it's affected our older siblings and millennials that we look up to, because they were kind of like the test subjects of social media with kids. And now we have a little bit, I think, of a healthier mindset with it, but I think we're still getting there. But that's kind of where I see it.
Yeah, I think obviously able to speak from Gen Z perspective as well. But yeah, definitely seeing that it might have slightly less negative impacts on our generation, because we were able to see some of the negative impact it had on our older siblings, the millennials, and able to fix a few of those things. On that note, do you think that social media has had a negative or positive impact, kind of more or less, and why you think that? Julie, if you want to start.
I actually think it's both. I think we have to remember it's just a tool. It's just a channel of communication. I think it can have a positive and a negative impact, and it's a lot of times driven by the content curator in the moment. So I do believe we also have to take personal accountability for everything we post and consider the consequences, and sometimes we don't. So there's the positive and the negative. We certainly know the negative. The positive to me is, again, it's just a tool, but for those that have aggregated it effectively and efficiently and even turned it into a money-making business for themselves. We've got some farmers, I'm always gonna do an example that relates to our farmers and ranchers, that are starting to actually, and they have been several of them that were first on scene with it, to make money from it in a positive and clarifying way. So as with any tool, you can use and abuse it, or use and maximize on it.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that and say there are loads of pros and cons to social media. The first thing I think of when I think of a pro or a positive would be the initial attempt behind Facebook was to connect the globe. And thinking about where we are now, it's insane to think about how global we are because of that. And that they had this vision of like, oh my gosh, how awesome would it be if we could do that? And we are extremely connected. But at the same time, there's a major disconnect because it's not face-to-face connection, I think. And in that as well, I think when you think about being with a group of people and certain individuals get on their phone to scroll through social media, it ultimately takes us away from the present and can damage the relationships at the same time. So I think it's very complex to talk about the positives and negatives. Again, I would just emphasize working in the entrepreneurship program I do and having my own business. So many of my own clients have come from social media, and I think there's a beautiful aspect of being able to build a life that you want through entrepreneurship because of social media. So that is obviously a huge positive, and just thinking about the opportunities that have come from it are really great, but it's also highly addictive. And that is a huge problem because our attention spans are getting increasingly shorter. Studies have shown, I think it's now, I just read in a book that most likely because of the amount of time we spend on our phones and how fast we consume information, that our attention span is shorter than a goldfish. So really enlightening to know that, but I think there are many pros and cons. And I think a healthy view is to recognize both, I think, and hold both together and not say one or the other, that it's only positive or that it's only negative. But I would also love to hear from the Gen Zers, the ways that you saw millennials use it poorly that influenced you to correct that, or maybe like do it differently, because that's the first time I've heard someone say that. So I'm really intrigued to know what that was like for you.
Yeah. Well, so like, as far as the, like what we saw that we learned from, I would say there was a huge focus on like cyberbullying when I like started middle school, and like really stopping that like negative, like talk on social media. And I noticed like Gen Z, and not everyone obviously, but like the way that Gen Z speaks to each other on social media seems to be a little bit more positive than a lot of the older generations. Just because I think we realize the impact that it has, even though like you don't see what people are receiving on the other end. Like, I think there is a huge focus on just being better as far as like what we're saying to other people. And I think that really it just impacted how everybody goes about it now. So that I think was one thing we learned. And also just like everybody sees what you put out too. And so like, I think back to the like first posts that my parents put on Facebook. I have really young parents. They're like 40, my mom's 40, my dad's 42. But just like, hey, I'm eating a salad, love a good salad for lunch. And just kind of the things that you put out there are totally like up to you, but like it's always out there at some point. And so I think we are careful, more careful about what we say too, at least for me. So that's kind of what I think we've learned. As far as like the pros and cons, I think my pro is that it opened up so many opportunities for me. Social media did, like just thinking about if I had entered college like 10 years ago, the amount of like marketing opportunities would look so different, and I wouldn't be doing the business that I'm doing so early if it weren't for social media. And I look at a lot of my peers that are like doing social content creation or trying to be an influencer, and just the amount of opportunities that they're able to take on, and just better exposure to especially Nebraskans, and just like things in the middle of the country we have a lot more access to now, which is great. So, and that like Zoom opened that up too, totally, and allowing more people to work online. And then for the cons, I think it's just creating sort of a disconnect, as you were saying, like there's a lot of people, we're sitting in a room, or I look around at a restaurant and everybody's on their phones. And I think like being separated during COVID, everybody like kind of forgot how to be social with each other. And so I just noticed like people get really overwhelmed in social situations with a lot of people now. And it's like people would much rather like chat in a group chat rather than like sit in a group and actually have a conversation. And I feel like I'm a little bit different in that because I don't like engage in much of that, but I noticed my peers doing a lot of that. So yeah.
Can I add one other on the con besides the cyberbullying? Is a lot of people, and it relates to mental health issues. Sometimes social media on the con can be very negative to someone that hasn't built solid family and friend relations offline. So when they see all this positive, or, you know, we typically share the best of who and what we are on social media, or we're compelled to. And so that if you haven't built some of those really solid relations, I always say offline, but separate from social media, it can influence, especially for those that are struggling with a few of those mental health issues. You're seeing all these wonderful things happen to other people and you're comparing it to yourself. So I always caution, whether, you know, whatever generation you're in, don't look at social media as a tool to advance a cause, but don't let it influence your psyche as an individual. Every one of us is special and unique in our own way, and we're fearfully and wonderfully made. So don't let social media influence the way you think. And that can be a negative if you do.
That's so good, Julie. I love that. I also think it's so cool to think about Gen Z encouraging each other on social media, because I haven't actually thought about that until you said that, Whitney. And I have cousins that I see their posts on social media and they'll have like 40 comments on it of people like hyping them up every single post. I'm like, these people are on social media all the time. But I'm like, wait, that's actually really cool to think about the way that they maybe learned from the cyberbullying you were talking about. And that's really awesome to think about. So cool.
Yeah. So everything you guys are saying are so interesting. I personally agree with Julie that with the relationships thing, I guess I kind of never thought of that, like how you can establish relationships. Like I have a relationship with my cousins that I've maybe seen twice in my life on social media where we text back and forth, but it's obviously still a disconnect. I think that that one can be a pro and a con because you're able to connect with people that you couldn't before. I feel like it's a lot easier for kids to who were adopted or maybe misplaced. They're also able to find their family a little bit easier. So that's kind of a connection they're able to make. It's easier to find people, but at the same time, those connections, are they genuine? We don't really know yet. But I think when you asked Emily and like Whitney talked about, I definitely see the hype. But when I had mentioned that before, it was because I think it was more on body positivity. And like, I think for the last 50 or so, or even more years, we've kind of had these standards, especially for women and men too. And so when we began social media with millennials, you know, that was what was being promoted initially, just like it had been in person. And so Gen Z was able to see this disparity, and it actually just brought about mental health issues that maybe already existed, you know, when you were just in person. You know, you still saw people and you're like, man, I wish I had their body, but it was even worse and enhanced with that. So I think Whitney might agree with me that we kind of were able to notice that and be able to adjust, per se, how we use social media. So with that, like we were just talking, how do you envision future generations? We do have technically a generation coming up because Gen Z is 10 to 25. So our future generations already being born, per se. Do you think that they can make it even more beneficial? And how do you envision future generations making social media more of an environment that's positive and beneficial?
I like this question. It's a good one. Just like with every previous generation, we kind of see what happened with the previous generation. And if we want to have a quality of life, we improve on where that previous generation maximized. And we also tell ourselves what to avoid because of some of the crazy things that happened with the previous generation. I always like the analogy of siblings. We're always going to watch. I was second born. So I always watched my older brother, and I figured out what would happen when he'd get in trouble, obviously. So there were certain things that I decided to avoid just because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to be the one that dealt with some of the things that he did to get in trouble. So I tended to be a quote unquote, I don't know if I'd say better kid. I just kind of figured it out. So there was going to be that opportunity with social media. I think there's also that business curve, maturity curve that they talk about, introduction of a new product, and if it really met a need in the community or society, it really has a strong growth trajectory, then it kind of plateaus. And then a lot of times, unless you generate some new innovations with that business, it'll start to decrease. And I do think, especially Facebook and, for example, YouTube are struggling with some things, but I get a vibe too that their leadership, the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, will figure out some of those challenges. Maybe that's why he's going to, what does he call it? You guys here in the younger set will help me figure out the word, but I think he calls it the metaverse. And he's even kind of rebranded Facebook, even though you and I are calling it Facebook. I think there's the meta.
Is that yeah, what in that, yeah.
So yeah. I have a feeling he's having to make those changes because in reality, as fairly new as social media is, there is this plateauing, or Facebook in reality is a mature business. So I think upcoming generations have the opportunity to improve it. I do think that there's going to be some challenges. I actually was a little bit surprised, for example, with the Gen Zs, that you guys are a lot more discriminating with what tool in social media you'll use. And to a certain degree, sometimes you don't use it at all unless you decide you want to try to create a revenue stream from it. And third, because you've seen some of the wipeout and washout and fallout, I think the younger, so the Gen Z is actually an example of what's going on. I think you're learning, I don't know if you have it down, no generation has anything perfectly down, but I think you're learning that balance of being social in real life and being social on social media. And for the first generations like Gen X, we were used to personal computers, internet, we hopped right in and we stumbled a lot.
If I could jump in real quick with that, Emily, I'd like to ask you, because millennials really were the ones that are first to grow up with technology and really try to use it as a tool for everything almost. And so with the plateau that is happening, do you think, as a millennial, do you think it would be inefficient not to use social media for its full potential? And do you think that because there are people, especially in Gen Z, I personally turn off social media sometimes, like the month of finals, I'm not on social media at all. And so are the people that refuse to use social media being principled, you know, or is it okay that they're doing it on principle, or is it simple ignorance and stubbornness?
Yeah. Again, I think when I said it earlier about the positives and negatives, I would take a similar approach to this question and say that somewhere in between is a healthy place to be. Like, I think saying it's pure ignorance is a little bit too far. I think it's all about balance. So the quote that I'll use for this that I pulled up is Mark Twain says, "It ain't what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so." So I think Julie has had a lot of great points about thinking of social media as a tool. And I would agree with that perspective as well. And think that it's not the only way. And this is the entrepreneur in me and probably my personality type as well. But I would love to see what would happen for businesses if they just tested to see what would happen if we did it the old school way and just tried without social media and just tested it. Like, I would love to see what would happen for people. I think it would be a really cool experiment to just actually test it and try it instead of us just kind of like wondering what would happen. I do think, like we've said, social media is incredibly relevant, but I am seeing this in the lives of a lot of my friends as well. And Hannah, you mentioning like not being on it in finals week. I'm seeing more and more of my own people in my community getting off of it in busy seasons, or like right now, I am not on Instagram for Lent, and I honestly don't know if I'm going to get back on my personal account because I love not being on it, which is really funny because my job is pretty much social media. But at the same time, that's also why I got off of it, because if my work is social media, it's not fueling for me to get on my personal account at the end of the day. And it is honestly like kind of a way of numbing out and not like engaging or connecting or fueling my creativity. So I think it's like really subjective, and I think it's hard to put it into a box, because I just think it is like really unique person to person. But I will be really curious to see what happens moving forward, because I think people are having a difficult time interacting post-COVID. I think what you said, Whitney, is really true about the difficulty of social interaction. But at the same time, I see a lot of people craving connection and like craving community. So I'll be really curious to see how many people lean into that and pursue community, and how many people stay in the confines of social media.
Emily, I think that's cool that you picked banning yourself from your personal Instagram account for Lent. I think that's way cool.
Yeah, it's been good. I did it last year too, and it was awesome. Yeah.
Whitney, so I think that probably you could relate with actually the struggle of finding that balance too, with that Emily was talking about, with having social media being your job, marketing being your job, and then feeling pressure to have maybe a boasted social media, because people might expect, you know, they look at your personal account to see what you would do maybe for other businesses. So how do you deal with the pressure of finding the balance?
I'm still trying to find that. I feel like I don't like posting on my own personal page. I don't know why, but I just like, I get way more enjoyment from creating other stuff. And I mean, I do like posting to share the photos and stuff, but I don't post that often because it feels like a chore, I feel like, because I'm so used to it being a job. And then I'm like, okay, well, this has to look professional, but also like be part of my life. So yeah, so I think the balance that I've been trying to find is just to post the things that really, like mean something to me, and not just like sharing. I know a lot of people around me like share anything and everything. If they take a cute picture, got to share it. Like, I only post things that like mean a lot to me, because then it's like me posting for me and not posting because I feel like I have to. So that I feel like is kind of how I've managed to balance it. And also, like, my TikTok page has become my like personal like fun place. So yeah, that I'd say Instagram is kind of like taking a step back from being my main thing for me personally.
That's really interesting. I had never thought of that before, as like certain platforms are like your playground per se, and then other platforms are more professional, more okay, this is where I do business, this is where I connect with people. We obviously know that LinkedIn is primarily a social media for connecting and professionalism. I think that, as Julie mentioned, Facebook is definitely entering that realm. And right now Snapchat and TikTok are kind of the personal playground. Although I feel like I'm also seeing a plateau with Snapchat. I think our generation, the streaks per se that millennials started, I think they're definitely going downhill. I know personally, I just get tired of like holding those sometimes. And I think, I mean, all of my friends have lost streaks with me, so I know it's not that I'm the only one, but you probably can relate to the fact that some days you're just like, you know what, I don't want to, like, you know, I went and hung out with this person. I don't really want to like text them on Snapchat today. So with this, our current event for today, which Julie actually touched on quite a bit, is the plateau, because there is a problem facing the world and definitely the U.S. that is a dependence on social media for human interaction and affirmation. We went over this a little bit, but I looked up the statistics. Now, bear with me on this, because actually every single website I went on to research this and every resource had different data. So it was a little bit, it's actually because a lot of times it was a pre versus post COVID versus middle, mid COVID type of thing, because social media probably actually was one of the biggest impacted industries or even sectors of the world during the pandemic, because we literally had to base our lives around social media because we couldn't see each other in person. So the statistic that I wanted to bring up is from Two Feet Marketing, and they said that using the social media age distribution statistics, you can determine whether your social media campaigns are reaching your target audience. We know that less 18 to 24 year olds use social media. However, as we get older, we become more reliant on social media as a way to communicate with our friends and family. So actually, the statistics, I have all of them pulled up right now, and it's actually showing that the biggest age range for social media use, usage, where it's percentage of population, is actually 35 to 44. So that's actually, you know, early Gen X. And then from there, the second is actually 45 to 54, so the later Gen X, and then 25 to 34 with millennials. So this was very surprising for me, because we wouldn't expect that Gen Z is actually lower, 18 to 24, which is our prime time right now, is actually the lowest. It's below 55 to 64. The only thing that beats it out for not using social media is 65 plus. So what would you say about that, Julie?
In some ways, I'm sort of kind of not surprised. Think of it this way. The Gen Zs don't really have to be on social media for the entertainment, except for the entertainment, where I do think, because we've recognized that we can turn it into a marketing business tool, and even the tool itself can become a revenue generator for us. I need to be on there because whether I'm a business owner and I need to reach my customers through social media that depend on that even more. So I do think some of it is because the older generations are either owning business or working in businesses, and they really have discovered the tool's power when it comes to marketing and reaching their consumers and staying engaged and stuff. And right now, and I might not be completely fair in saying this, but if I'm a Gen Z and I'm still in college, unless I'm as brilliant as you young minds are, and you're already marketing, you know, you're already doing things for clients and most likely getting paid for it, I don't need the social media marketing tool as hard. And so that's the only reason I think it is. And then there's that gap for the way older, 65 and plus, that may not be, they kind of fall off, aren't using it. Keep in mind, a lot of them are retiring, either retired or not all of them. But again, there's always an exception to every general rule. I'll give you an example of someone in his 80s that's actually using social media, but he's not sharing. My dad loves to check on the network of people from, and it will cause him to, oh man, I haven't talked to John Doe or Jane Doe for so long. I'm going to give him a call and check on it, because dad's really social. but I have logged him into my Facebook account because we all have a lot of the same friends. And that's how he stays in contact, and it inspires him to do face-to-face connecting. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's actually going on more, but nobody can, the social media channels can't count Dad because he's actually checking my Facebook through my account. Is that making sense? So that's one of the reasons I think you're seeing that gap with the Gen Zs, and then go all the way to the other end of it and you see there's that gap, or they're not actually engaged in it. The ones that are the ones that have seen the criticality of marketing for their businesses and the companies that they work for.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with you. And before Emily, you respond, I wanted to pose Emily a question with that reaction, is that actually around here in Angler, where we have people that, I mean, somebody in here is a sophomore in college and has an extremely successful business that he started when he was a sophomore in high school. And he does not have any social media, no website. And I've actually discovered this as I've talked to many people here, is that a lot of people don't have websites, don't have social media for their business. And they actually, if they do have a website, it's just like as general, as low maintenance as possible. And a lot of times they prefer that they are contacted over the phone or email to make orders and things. So they do often use it as like advertisement, maybe on their personal account. So I might actually ask Emily, with the trend that I'm seeing with our generation too, is definitely a want to buy from local businesses and small businesses, starting them and using them for all products. It's a big movement right now. And so I think maybe with what you said about it plateauing, do you think, Emily, that part of that too is that there's a boom of small businesses and local businesses where you kind of, you use it as a marketing tool maybe personally, but you rather just get customers locally because that's what you can sustain?
Yeah, loaded question. I think first, what you mentioned about websites, I'll touch on that quickly. Based on what I was saying earlier about the attention spans being shorter across many generations, I think keeping a website simple is really key. People don't really want to come to a website that has a ton of information. So I think if people do use a website, I think it's really important that it is like as simple as it can be and just like very limited information, and just give it to people straight, because most people will tell you they won't read like a super long caption or super long story now unless it's a topic that they really care about. So that is my first thought on that. And then secondly, I do think people also are like, the push towards buying local or buying from a small business is that we're seeing kind of this growth in entrepreneurship. And obviously I think in all of this, our view of this is probably subjective because we are exposed to it through Angler and through our community especially. So I think it would be really interesting to look beyond not only like where we are, but where we are nationwide and in the like global world that we live in now. I think it would just be really interesting to see what the trends are with that. But I do think as there's kind of like this entrepreneurial spirit among younger generations more and more, as we're seeing, and I think something else to be said for Gen Z and somewhat millennials is like purpose driven. So it's like, I want to have meaning in what I'm doing. I want to know why I'm doing it. So I think the push towards buying from a small business is also because we have people who want to be business owners. And when you are a business owner, you want to support business owners because you kind of like think the same and you know what it's like. So I think it goes hand in hand. There's kind of like this walk of like, oh, I'm doing this too. Like, I want to support you and do the same thing. But I think I do still think like there is this question of like, how much do you want to grow? Because I think a lot of entrepreneurs that are not on social media that I've been exposed to, again, this is just like my perspective, is they're not doing it full time or they're not trying to grow it a ton. So I think if people are wanting to grow the business or have it be their key form of income, I think there still might be like a little bit of like, you kind of need to have like another stream of like revenue coming from there, is like my personal take. But I don't think it's like a have to, but I just think it is like kind of like this easier access route. Like, you know, you can grow it because it is there. So that, those are my initial thoughts.
I was posing that question because of the sector that is like, there are two sides of it, but posing the question specifically about the sector that choose maybe to, I don't want to say have less exposure, but make sure that like their part of their brand is being local kind of thing. And they want to keep local because it's how they get a premium price or how they have a base. So yeah, go ahead, Whitney.
I think it just has a lot to do with like what type of business you are. So like a retail business that needs to convince people that they need to have your products, like you have to have social media or a website or some way to, probably all of those things actually. But I think with like the hay baling company or ones that choose not to, I think especially with local small businesses, you have to choose where you can allocate your time. And it may not be like super valuable to them to spend a lot of time on that, just knowing their customer base. But I would say if they were going to scale the business, they'd have to make the choice to use social media as a tool. But I think ultimately, like at Lingler, we talk a lot about it, like it's up to you how you want to have your business. And so if he is choosing to keep that business just him and that's his choice, it's a smart decision to make not to go with social media, because I, from my own experience with photography, as soon as you start posting and you start, I just put my website up and started promoting, my summer like filled up, which is great. But then at some point you start turning people away and you're like, that's a disappointing thing for your customers as well. So I think there's a balance of what you're able to take on as a small business that comes with social media, because it's not something you can necessarily control if it decides to blow up. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations on your website, by the way.
Thank you.
Big stuff, I understand. And so with this too, some certain trends that I didn't talk about was the younger part of our generation, Whitney, which is the Gen Z below 17, which is pretty high up there too. I would say about three, there's 35 to 44, and then there's about three that are almost tied for percentage. And so one of those is zero, is people that are 17 or younger. And with that, another issue that is more personal and shifting away from business is asking, how does it impact growing minds? I mean, I think we are able to efficiently say growing up our whole lives with technology, what it might have as an impact.
I was just thinking about this the other day. I was talking to my mom about it actually, but I think younger minds, especially like people that are just coming into like choosing like what to buy as far as like clothing goes and all of that, it is like companies have such a like they have a wider I'm trying to think of what I want to say, they have a better way to get to a younger audience than they did before, in a way that I think is not healthy for the younger crowd, like especially because it's not their money that they're spending, it's their parents' money, and there's this like shift in the things that like I think I'm thinking more of like 13 to 18 where I'm just noticing a lot of local boutiques and things are influencing what style happens and like the clothes that people feel the need to buy. I think a lot of their peers go and purchase new items, and then the next day you see them wearing the exact same thing, and it's kind of creating this like pressure to need and buy new things like quicker than you used to. And so I don't know, that was kind of like a roundabout way to get there, but
no I think what you're saying is about fast fashion, right?
Yeah, like definitely fast fashion, and just very like material based, I feel like, and we're kind of getting away from that, and now it's coming back because younger minds are so easily influenced. There's a lot of notifications happening on here. Even you can use their peers to influence the way that they make purchases or feel about themselves too. So sorry, I'm not sure which.
No, you're totally fine. I mean, I get what you're saying. And with that, Emily, your generation is becoming parents now and partially grew up with this technology, with this social media. And you guys were the first ones as teenagers to see the maybe negative impact it had on you growing up. And kind of showing that like everybody's trying to follow a trend, as Whitney noticed about fast fashion, and also just being exposed to a lot of things that are also exposed to adults maybe. And so with this, what's your opinion on when social media and technology should be introduced? What do you think your generation's gonna do about that as they start to have a family?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's really interesting. My sister has two girls. My nieces are 3 and coming on 1. So they are incredibly tech savvy. It's really interesting how if we leave a phone out, they can find their way to things and do things really easily. So it's funny to see how quick they pick up on things. I don't know if I have a super strong opinion on that of when I think it should be introduced. I think I'm not married and I don't have children, so I think it's hard for me to like have an opinion on that because I'm not at that stage of life where I've done a lot of like looking into that. But I do think there is like a lot of value in developing a child in like the actual world around us, like the physical world, and encouraging them to learn and play and try all the things. And I think like that is true experience. So I think, I don't know if I would so much say like, oh, how much should we limit or not limit social media? But I would rather just like really encourage like doing all the things and trying all the things and like getting kids experience and like cultivating their learning, cultivating their relationships, and just like really maximizing that more than I would even give like technology the time of day in that, honestly. But yeah,
I would say like we have a really good opportunity in parents coming up just to like teach kids how to manage their screen time. I notice a lot of like people around me using the like feature on your phone where it's like, okay, like 2 hours up for social media, but we all ignore it and move on from it. And I feel like there's such a thing that parents could be able to do, and that is teaching like their kids like, okay, this is the healthy amount of screen time, and this is a healthy amount of exposure that you have to technology, and being able to have communication at your fingertips at a young age, I think is important, because you can learn just the same that you do with communication in person or any form of communication. It has to be learned. And so the earlier you learn it, the better you are at it. And I mean, I have a cousin who's 8 years old, and she has selective mutism, but she speaks like so much through her like instant messaging app that she uses to all of the family members. And so it's really cool, because I don't think at that age I would have been able to like have a conversation through a computer or through my phone, or I didn't even have a phone at that age. But it's just cool to see like there's so many more options for kids, and they are learning things way sooner than we ever did. And I think there's just an opportunity for parents to get ahead of that and teach them the proper and good ways to use social media and technology in general. And there's nothing wrong with like getting it as long as you're doing it right. So yeah.
Good thoughts. That's awesome.
Yeah. And Julie, with that, what would you say about, you know, since we are seeing like as a growing mind, you're going to see a huge impact. Can you guys hear me?
You broke up, but I think we can hear you now.
Yeah, I disconnected for some reason. But what I was going to say is, with how impactful this can be on growing minds, whether it is positive, like Whitney said, I mean, that's amazing that your 8-year-old niece, did you say, was able to communicate in a way that no generation before has been able to at that age. There are a lot of big pros on new advancements you can learn at a young age, but there also is that they're exposed to things that me at my age, you at your age, Emily at her age are being exposed to. So what are your thoughts on having restrictions, regulations, or censorships for apps when it comes to these younger children?
So if you're asking the question as a parent or an aunt, in my case, I have 6 nieces and nephews. I fully appreciate and endorse a parent or parents' decisions to put restrictions, because they're the ones that are responsible for their children and their growing up. And if they've had negative experience or seen negative experiences, I think they have every right as a parent to put in place certain restrictions. Even the Whitney pointed to, okay, you can commit 2 hours of social media time, you know, and once that 2 hours is up, you know, whatever the restrictions are, and the technology is there in many instances for parents to even kind of control that. So I fully endorse a parent's right to establish it. And I think every parent from their own background experiences, even moral code, will decide how and why. And in fact, I do think parents should be more engaged. While one parent, set of parents might not be as restrictive as another set, they really have to be the ones. And on the broader note, in terms of censorship in the business community, social media in general, remember they're protected under that Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, and it's tied into our First Amendment right, free speech and stuff. So part of what it means, if I understand it correctly, is that if I'm Mark Zuckerberg and I run Facebook, I can't, under that Section 230, I can't be held as liable as a newspaper would be for certain content. The reason those who initiated the Section 230, and there's controversies to it, and they always are seeking ways to improve it, because they realized in the internet space, the social media space, it would be a little bit more challenging to manage all of the users' content posts. And then when you consider our First Amendment rights, now, of course, this doesn't include, and there are exceptions to that under the section when it comes to salacious content that is not healthy for any of us. I don't even think I need to make references to those things. So those kind of restrictions are there. And even separate from that Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, on the flip side of it, it's ironic to me when they're seeking all these protections as a channel for communications that they are censoring certain individuals. We'll use it, whether you like him or not, they'll knock Trump off Twitter, and yet you still have the Ayatollahs and some of these radically crazy dictators from other countries that are on Twitter. So I have to say, as a laggard baby boomer / Gen Xer, I kind of am questioning some of the decisions and choices the leadership of these different social media channels are using to censor. And I wouldn't even call it self-censor. It's kind of like who they decide they like and who they, and it is their platform. It's separate from the newspapers. But so we're dabbling in a very delicate area. So sum all this up, I would just highly and fully endorse those that have parental responsibility for their children and dictating how they can utilize these tools. And if they're going to put some constraints on it, I fully endorse that. And on the flip side, we've got Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act that's trying to protect these organizations from being too liable for all of the content providers on those channels. And then this kind of funny censorship that's been emerging on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. So we have a lot to work through in all of this. And part of it is because it's a new technology tool. Even now, even though Facebook and Instagram, YouTube have been there for some time.
Yeah. I was just going to say, Emily and Whitney, along with your response to what Julie has just said, posing the question of, with all of these restrictions and complications, how are we able to avoid a form of authoritarianism that maybe is being held by these social media leaders, but still create a mentally and emotionally safe space for young people? Because I know that millennials and Gen Z are very empathetic, much more empathetic than maybe some would say earlier generations are when it comes to this kind of caring about the image of yourself and how it affects others, what you say, how it affects others. We have a new form of censorship that is often called cancel culture. So where's the line with what Julie was saying for avoiding authoritarianism, but still initially caring about the mental health of others?
What Julie was saying kind of it sparked in my mind was, I don't know if it's part of the same act that you were talking about, but I remember, like, for kids' television shows, there used to be like restrictions on how many commercials they could see and what kind of commercials and how many could be about products and how many could be about food and just different restrictions that don't exist in the type of like things that kids see now. And so that's something I also think could be part of a change we're seeing in the future. I've seen a lot of movements trying to change what things kids are able to see on YouTube. And I think that's kind of restrictions there could help make better decisions for YouTube and just the way that kids are taking in information. So that is one area I could see that. As far as I think social media is always going to want to try to make the most money for like their platform and also the people that are using their platform to make money. And so they're going to make decisions that are not necessarily positive for the general population. So I think that a bigger thing that we could like see changing in the future is the user side of it and making changes on what people, especially kids, are taught in school and managing their content viewing, I guess. That's where I could see the biggest change, but I have a feeling that a lot of the like social media platforms are not going to make decisions that are necessarily helpful unless laws are put in place, but I don't know that they'd be able to.
That's good, Whitney. I agree with you.
Yeah, really good thoughts. I think this is a tough topic to talk about. Yeah, it's uncharted territory for all of us, but as far as like other generations haven't really been through this before, because it is kind of like we're discovering social media for the first time in many ways in like these different seasons as it grows and changes. So I think I don't really feel comfortable commenting on it, but I think one thing I would say is I think we all have a responsibility each like to our own. And I think like, I know the only thing I can control is like what I do and how I show up on social media. So I think that is something that I would just encourage other people to think about as well.
Very good.
So kind of any final thoughts, you guys, on kind of what will happen now, what should happen to close out the current issue for today? Julie, you can go ahead.
So what should happen or what could happen? Repeat the question one more time. Sorry.
Just your closing thoughts on what should happen, what's next for the impact of social media. I know we touched on a lot of points today, but just any final thoughts that you'd like to get out there about kind of the future of this impact.
Yeah, I always conclude whenever I talk on social media and even presentations I've had the privilege of giving, we just have to remember it's a tool. It's fairly new on the market, so it's got growing pains, even for those social media channels that to me are reaching that maturity cycle of the product life cycle. And because of that, and the innovations and competition and recognizing even the revenue streams, Whitney, you kind of alluded to that in your latest commentary, I think we will work out some of the challenges. And I've thoroughly enjoyed this dialogue and discussion with all of you. I just love the brilliance of the young minds, and I see your potential of really making it better than what we did, because you can certainly compare against the generation that's gone before you. And that's a privilege to me to be able to see the innovation of young people making some truly improved strategies on this tool that we're talking about. So I can only foresee, and I always look at a glass half full instead of half empty. So that's my motivation too. I can fully see that we can only get better in using this communication tool and look forward instead of back. We've gone through some crazy hiccups, but thanks to minds like yours, I think we'll get through the hiccup and have some smooth sailing down the road, down the seas. So I'm going to use a metaphor. I better not mix them, right?
Any thoughts, Emily or Whitney?
I think just like moving forward, there's a lot of things that are definitely on Gen Z. I think we're going to take, I think millennials and Gen Z really, because it's kind of a gray line, I feel like, where those start and end for a lot of things. But like, it's kind of our choice on our usage of it. And like Julia was saying, it's a tool. And so it's however you want to use it, and whether you want to make the world a better place by using it, or maybe it has a negative impact, like that's up to us. So I think a podcast like this is great, because I think you get to influence how people are coming at communication through social media. So
yeah, that's great. Any final thoughts, Emily?
No, I just think as a general thumb, aside from social media, I think it's awesome to think about all generations coming together to learn from each other.
Yeah, so my final question, I have a rule of thumb on this podcast, speaking of rules of thumb, that we end with a fun question, because it can get pretty tense. We do talk pretty deeply, as you can hear. And so my question for each of you guys, starting with Julie, is what's your favorite TV show? Like, what is your favorite to stream, whether it's new episodes or you watched it 20 times?
Friends, and are you not surprised? I love Friends.
I do too.
Good. See, that crosses generations. You know something will be successful and a hit if it can cross the generations. Because think about how old that show is.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty old.
I really like Friends also. I also used to really like Gilmore Girls, but I haven't watched it in a long time.
That show. Gilmore Girls was cute.
Yeah.
I have not watched Friends before. I'm guilty of not watching the classic. But very similar, I would say, is like my generation's version, which you can't really have a version of an iconic show, but I love New Girl. I was talking about that with somebody this morning. It makes me laugh. I think Nick might be just like who I am in another life.
And you called it New World?
New Girl.
New Girl.
So, okay. Yeah. It's kind of a group of millennials who are living together, which is, I think, the 80s version is turned into our version.
Yeah.
But it's more because I can relate to the characters maybe a little bit more than Friends. And so to close out, if you guys want to go ahead and say you have a 20-second window to, you know, plug anything you want, whether it's a message, policy, action, product, or your own business or somebody else's business. Julie, if you want to start out.
Well, if you want to hang out with farmers and ranchers or our channels, since we're talking about social media, it's Friends of Arizona Farm Bureau on Facebook. It's AZ Farm Bureau on Instagram. And we do have a YouTube channel and Twitter. Our Twitter account is AZ Farm Bureau also.
Okay, and Emily, if you want to go ahead too, like whatever you wanted to say.
Yeah, I think going off of my theme of balance, I'll just share a message about some more of that. So I think what I've been learning recently is I think laziness is a waste of our lives. And on the other end of the spectrum, I think being a workaholic can also be a distorted view of priorities. So to find a healthy medium of that, I'm personally pursuing a less hurried life and just trying to slow down and pause. And the way that I've found to do that is following Jesus. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the life abundant is found in him.
Amen, sister in the Lord.
Oh, Whitney, what would you like to say?
Well, I'll just go ahead and plug my socials and some of the businesses that I work for. Just if you are curious of what I do, I'm Whitney Ryan Miller on all the things. And so Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. For my businesses that I work for, I've got Jilly Socks and Such, which is a novelty sock shop. You can find them at Facebook or Instagram, Jilly Socks. And OMT Divine Resale is a women's consignment store. And I run their social media as well. And then my personal Honeycomb Marketing, which is not active yet, but if you're listening to this in a few months, you can take a look. So
awesome. Can I just add one more thing?
Yeah,
when
go ahead.
With people like you, I know there's hope. That's my statement.
That's awesome.
Right. And impressive. And God's hand is in your lives.
No.
Well, thank you guys all for coming. I think this is a pretty good conversation. I do encourage any listeners to follow social media, Booming from X to Z, and listen to future podcasts. And if you'd like, you can go ahead and DM on any direct message on any social media. Give us some topics that you'd like to hear, and just any comments, go ahead. And so thank you guys for being here. And everybody, I hope you learned and understood like we were able to today. Thank you.
Sweet.
That's a wrap, guys.
That's a wrap.